Today, I'm welcoming a new podcast sponsor, Shrank Grills. If you haven't heard about these yet, today is the day. Darian and I cannot wait to move to Florida and start our hosting era, and this is the perfect way to do it. These grills heat up to over 1,500 degrees in less than 5 minutes, and it uses the exact same infrared technology as the world's best steakhouses. So things are going to cook really fast. Your steaks can be ready in as little as 3 minutes, and salmon as well. Big salmon girly over here. We're trying to get all of our protein gains, and this delivers on flavor because everything is juicier on a grill. They also have a dip tray at the bottom. This is probably my favorite feature of these grills. You can let all the steak juices just drip to the bottom of the drip tray, and then it's going to create these brown bits. And you can add butter, spices, oils into that dip tray also, and then pour all the juices back onto the steak. And this makes such a big difference in flavor. This grill isn't just for steak, though. You can also cook chicken wings, hamburgers, seafood, even pizza with their pizza stone accessories. So if you've been on the fence for your summer grilling, look no further and get your Shrank grill today. That's spelled S-C-H-W-A-N-K, Shrank Grills. You can use code FUNANDGAINS to get $150 off a Shrank grill. Welcome to the Fun and Gains podcast. I'm your host, Brittany Lupton, and let the gains begin. Hello, hello, everybody. We're welcoming a brand new guest, which I'm really excited, very honored to have her on the podcast. We're going to welcome Noelia to the podcast. Say hi.
Hi, guys. I am so honored to actually be here. This is actually the first podcast I've ever done. So, and it's like the perfect podcast to come on for the first time. So,
wow. Wait, I'm honored. Your first ever podcast. Do you listen to podcasts? Are you like a podcast?
Every day. Fun fact, I actually put being on a podcast as a guest on my vision board for this year. So now it's like so comforting, like knowing the vision board is actually working.
Wait, it is totally working. We got this done. You're here and it's going to be such a good episode. I'm so excited. Hey, well, give everybody a little background into who you are, what you do, so they can have an idea of who you are while they listen.
Yeah. So my name is Noelia. I'm 25 years old and I'm a full-time content creator and online coach. I'm from the New Jersey, New York area, and pretty much my entire page is focused on fitness and mental health and just trying to inspire others. And I started getting into that about 3.5 years ago. So right before COVID, that's when I started like my fitness journey. And ever since then, I've just been consistent with it and never looked back.
What made you want to start getting into fitness? Was that something that like you had a background in, or one day you were like, let's hop in?
It's actually not a funny story, but I had just gotten out of a really bad relationship right before COVID. And I don't know if you've ever gotten like out of like a really bad breakup or something, but right after that, you're kind of just like, okay, I need to look good. I want to feel good. I want to kind of get that quote unquote revenge body. So that's when I was like, I need to start working out. And I think at first I had the wrong mentality going into it, kind of doing it for others and the breakup and just not for myself. And then COVID hit. So when all the gyms shut down, I was like, great, now what do I do? So I started getting into running a lot, and I actually ran a half marathon right when like the middle of COVID. I did it by myself, but I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I did 13 miles. And then the gyms opened back up again, and I started lifting weights after that. And that's kind of when my mindset shifted from doing it because of the breakup to doing it for myself. And that kind of just pushed me to keep going with it. And here we are. 3 years later.
No, that's so cool. I think that it's always so interesting to learn about how people get into fitness, because there's so many different paths and ways. And no matter where you are in life, no matter what happens, you can always join a gym or always start running or always start yoga and Pilates. And it kind of helps us through a lot of these things that we're going through, because it's a huge stress relief and just a way for us to put our attention, our time and focus into something and hone in on it. So I always love that. I always think that's so cool to be able to hear how people get into it, because I know a lot of people can be really intimidated when even just trying to start in the first place, but it's just...
Yeah, I think For me, it was just, I had that like motivation after the breakup. So I was like, even though I obviously, when I first started going to the gym, I did not know what I was doing. I would just follow workouts on YouTube or kind of just go to the corner of the gym because I felt very intimidated. But having almost like a why as to why you're working out is a huge help, because it just pushes you to want to keep going even when you do feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I think it's cool that our whys can even change over time. So like, you might start working out for a certain reason and then you're like, oh no, I actually like this. I want to try something new. And it just evolves and adapts. Like, you running a half marathon, was that like, did you sign up for a race and do it? Or you were just like, I'm running 13 miles one day, and you just literally ran half marathon.
I knew I wanted to make a change and get in shape, but since all of the gyms were closed, I was like, well, I don't know what to do besides running, because I had no access to a home gym or any weights or anything. So I just kind of took on running, and I literally would run every single day until I was like, you know what, let me push myself and see if I can actually run a half marathon. And I did it on my, like, by myself. I don't even remember the time. I didn't even track the time that I did it in, but kind of just to accomplish something and feel good about all the training that I've been doing up until then.
That is so that is so sick that you just were like, I'm going to just do this for myself. And it's so true, because all the gyms were shut down during that time of year. It was horrible. I remember trying to go outside and run and doing like HIIT circuits, and it's, you know, one of those things you like don't even want to think about or like bring up.
It's crazy to like think we had to live through that. And it was actually pretty like not long ago, but it feels like it was forever ago.
Yeah, it does. And now I saw you make a post. Are you planning to run another marathon?
Yeah. So now I'm training for a full marathon.
Okay.
So I actually signed up for the Boston Marathon April 15th.
Wait, I thought you have to like qualify for that. No.
So I'm doing it through, you do, but
okay.
I'm doing it through a charity. So I'm going to raise money for the Boston's Children's Hospital to be able to run it. But I actually, not that I got bamboozled into running it, but my boyfriend's brother-in-law actually told me, he's run a bunch of marathons, and he was like, you should do Boston one, it's actually the easiest one. And I was like, okay, like that makes sense, you know, start with the easiest one out of all of them. Later come to find out it's actually one of the hardest ones out there, and I'm like, you did not trick me into signing up to the hardest marathon.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I feel like I don't know much about marathons, but I definitely know the Boston Marathon and no easy feat. But you're going to kill it. You're going to do well.
It's definitely nerve-wracking, because especially I've been running a lot in the mornings just with my training. So sometimes I just get in my head. I'm like, oh my God, I'm tired. And it's only, what, mile 6. And I was like, how the heck am I going to run 26 miles? But you just have to trust the process. Like, the training's going to get you there. And if you're consistent with it, and I think a lot of the times it's just the mental aspects of like knowing you can do it and pushing yourself past what you think you're capable of. But that's really close. April, I'm excited.
Oh my gosh, April, that is so close. I kind of want to know what your training looks like now. And I also want to just peek into your mindset of how you get through long runs, because it's something when I move, I really want to get into running again. It's just too cold here and I'm not motivated, but I know I will be in the future. So first I want to look at, what does your training look like if someone's trying to enter their runner girl era? I know that's like a big thing going on right now. So what does that look like? Are you still lifting? How are you working on your mileage and all that?
Yeah. So I'm not following a specific lifting and running program like that is cohesive. I think for a marathon, a lot of times you have to cut it down on the lifting and focus a lot on recovery, but I'm still lifting 5 times a week. And I honestly just Googled it, marathon training for 18 weeks. And it kind of just guides you every week through how many miles you should be running, if you should be doing like tempo runs, a little bit of intervals, or just low intensity runs. So it's pretty easy. There are so many training plans out there. So I got mine from the Boston Marathon website, and it was for beginners training. So that's the one I've been following. It's been 18 weeks. So right now, I forget what week I'm on. I don't know. It's week by week. So I've been following that. I run between 4 to 5 days a week. And then the mileage.
Oh my gosh.
It's a lot. The mileages during the week aren't that bad. They're like between 4 to 5, 3 to 5, depending on the day. And then I do one long run on the weekends, typically on Saturdays. And that kind of just depends on what stage of your training you're in. So I remember my first long run was 6 miles. And then right now, like this Saturday, I have to do a half marathon. So that's that's 13 miles. But yeah, it's really easy to find so many different training plans online for a marathon. This is my first time actually training for one, so I didn't really know how to structure it for myself. And when it comes to lifting, like I said, I have been lifting 5 to 6 times a week still, probably not ideal with how much running I'm doing. But I think for me, the gym is just like such a big part of my mental health, and I love going to it, that it's just hard for me to only cut it down to 2 times a week. So that's what I've been doing, but I've really been prioritizing rest. So I know my body's recovering, making sure I'm eating healthy, nutritious foods, protein, make sure I'm drinking my water, and sleep. I think sleep is so important, especially when I'm training so much for both lifting and running.
Yeah, seriously. I am so inspired. So inspired by you that you're like, I'm just going to run a marathon, pulling off a random. I'm like, I think it's like this weird code I can't crack of like, how do you even start with a marathon? But if I can just Google, figure it out and just do it. Like if you're going to get it done, you're going to get it done. So
exactly. And honestly, you can't really, if you, the more you think about it, I feel like the more you talk yourself out of it. And I remember when I signed up, I was in the car with my boyfriend, and that's when I called his brother-in-law, and it was right after the New York Marathon in November. Mm-hmm. And I just kept seeing all these TikToks, and I just felt so inspired. And I was like, you know what? Like, why not sign up for a marathon? And I kind of just pulled the trigger. And then after that, once you're signed up, it's like, oh, okay. I can't really back out now. I really have to like dive into it, and you just kind of have to go for it.
That's so inspiring. That's cool. I just had Chris Huey on who ran a marathon, and now you are talking about it. And I'm like, oh, I got to do it. It's coming. I'm going to start with like smaller races, but I will be doing it in the future.
I believe in you. And honestly, yeah, a lot of people ask me, why don't you just start with smaller races? But I think because I had ran so much during COVID, I feel like I have the capacity to just push myself to get there. But
oh yeah.
But yeah, like I have one of my best friends right now is training for a 5K this weekend, and eventually she wants to work her way up to a marathon, and that's totally fine. Like I think that's even more manageable than just full on being like, all right, I'm just gonna run 26 miles.
Yeah, but you had already run 13
exactly,
plus.
yeah.
So
that's why I
you
felt
got
comfortable
it.
With
yeah.
it.
So cool. Well, I would love to know throughout your process, you know, now you're training for a marathon, you love the gym, you're a gym girly, which I love. Love all of your content, by the way. I really do. So high quality. Who films you? I've got to know. Who films you?
So I do most of my videos with Paris. You've met her.
I love
she's the best. She's the best. I met her this past summer, and I feel like ever since then we just clicked. And she's just someone that really understands my vision. And like, I love, the one thing I love about creating content is creative directing and the editing. So when I come to her with a certain vision I have, she completely understands it, and you know, we kind of just work hand by hand. So I've been working with her for my videos and love her to death. And then most of my pictures I do with my brother. He's a photographer, so it's been cool to like get closer to him and get all of the pictures. It's really fun. I love creating content.
That is so awesome. Yeah, everything is just chef's kiss. Chef's kiss when you go to your page. Yeah. But through all of your journey, I feel like I know I've had a lot of different mindset shifts as I've done this for a few years of how things have changed. And I know you kind of touched on that a little bit earlier of, you know, you first started working out as revenge, but then you started to love it. How else has your opinion changed about fitness, your goals changed, just your mindset about everything in that area? How has it changed over time?
I think over time, I used to be very restrictive when it came to fitness and my life. When I first started, I was someone that, you know, was tracking her macros and would not miss a workout, even when she would go away on vacation. And if I did, I'd be really hard on myself. So I think the biggest mindset shift for me was realizing that at the end of the day, we want to build a sustainable lifestyle. Like, fitness is a lifestyle, and I couldn't build a lifestyle without a life. So it was really hard for me to like learn that balance between being disciplined and staying on track and eating healthy, but also allowing myself to, you know, live, to go on vacation and not have to worry about getting every single workout in or having a slice of pizza on the weekends, because I would feel guilty a lot of times. And I think and honestly, when I shift my mindset from being so restrictive to living basically 80-20, following that 80-20 rule, I started seeing more results too. So I think that was honestly the biggest mindset shift, and it completely changed the game for me, because now it doesn't all feel like a chore. Now I get to really enjoy it, enjoy my workouts and enjoy food without feeling guilty about anything.
Yeah. When you look back on that time, how do you feel like, if somebody was to ask you for that advice or tips on how did you make that change from really being into tracking macros and being a little bit more strict with yourself to finding that balance? Was that like a trial and error for you to try to figure out what works? Was it just sometimes you would skip a workout and then you're like, oh, actually, it's not that big of a deal if I don't, or, oh, I didn't track today and like, I'm okay. How was getting to that point? How, I think a lot of times it's like we can look back, but I am always trying to pinpoint, like, what were those things that helped get me there that I can pass on to other people listening, you know?
Yeah, I think for me, it was just realizing that I was saying no to going out to get dinner with my friends, or like, I remember once vividly, remember one time during Thanksgiving, I did not eat any of the Thanksgiving food besides the turkey and I think a little bit of the sweet potato, because
my heart.
So I know, I looking back, I wish I could give her a hug, because I really thought that just by indulging one day in these yummy foods that it was going to take away from the progress I had made. And I just didn't like how I felt that day. And then I started to educate myself more about food and, you know, protein and carbs and different macros, to the point where I knew that if I was getting significant amount of, like, I knew obviously like chicken had a lot of protein, eggs had a lot of protein, like different foods had a lot of protein, and just learning more about food, I felt comfortable eating what made me happy without feeling like, oh, I need to be exactly eating this amount. As long as I knew I was eating like enough protein, eating the correct foods that made me feel good, then I was okay. And then I also realized, like, I remember after that Thanksgiving, I went away to Costa Rica in December, so like about a month later, and I didn't work out at all while I was there. And I remember feeling really guilty, but then when I came back, I was like, wait a second, none of the progress I made is gone. So I don't think missing one workout is going to take away from everything, especially if I took a whole week off. And I actually felt a lot more energized and rested when I came back. So I think just, it's just life experience, like living in those little moments that really show you, oh, it's not all about how you look or what you do in the gym. It's really about everything else and how you enjoy your life.
100%. I could not agree with you more on that. I love the first thing you said about you were starting to educate yourself about food and intake. And I think education is freedom when it comes to food, because there's so much fear going on around food. People don't quite understand it. And when you first start, everyone's first thought process is, oh, if I want to change my body, if I want to, like, you know, lose weight or get shredded, I need to take out food. And yes, it's always that take mindset instead of, let me learn about what I should be actually probably adding into what I'm eating. Am I actually getting enough vegetables? Because vegetable volume, again, it's lesser calorie if we're going to talk about calories in a sense, but the nutrients that that provides for your body is so important. All of the calcium, all of the vitamins and minerals that we need every single day that we don't think about because we're just worried about trying not to have too many carbs or what carbs are good or bad and stuff. And I think education can be huge in the fact of people being able to have freedom and realizing how necessary it is to have macros and micros in our day-to-day life.
Agreed.
I also love that you took a week off and you were like, oh, my progress is going to be gone, and you go into the gym. I could scream this from the rooftops because I feel like I have 100% been there. And that was like the first tick for me where I was like, oh, I took some time off and I actually got back to the gym and I'm fine. My gains weren't sacrificed and I do have way more energy because I actually took that stress off and properly recovered and feel so much better. Coming back from a pregnancy still, and even this past year, everything that's been going on, now as I'm able to finally get back into the gym, I'm like, wow, all that little progress that I'd made before, like it can come back. So it's okay if you miss a session. It's okay if you're sick and you want to take 2 days off. It's okay if you want to take, you know, it's okay. It's going to be okay at the end of the day.
Exactly. And I think too, a lot, sometimes it's even more detrimental to your body to push through and push through the workout. Like for example, when you said you're sick, a lot of people think that they still have to push through, and that can actually be worse to your body, going to prolong you feeling healthy. So it's okay to just take how many days you need to take off to feel better, even for your mental health. I think too, like sometimes you just need to take a couple days off and focus on your mental health and do things that make you happy and then get right back into it. The progress is, like I said, it's a lifestyle. So even if it sets you back just a little bit, you can get right back into it.
Yep. I love that. I think that was a big mindset shift I had, and something that I had learned through all of this is it's actually revolving around my life, because my body is my life. Every day-to-day experience and my habits make up my life. It's not just like this whole entity of everything that has to do, like, you know, your fitness, going to the gym isn't my whole life. It's just one part of it that helps better it. And until you've come to the points where you're able to like internalize that and understand that, it just really helps, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you feel like during your fitness journey, you've had to unlearn or relearn anything?
Definitely. I think the biggest thing for me, especially when it comes to the gym, I know when I first started going, I would really focus on how much weight I was pushing as opposed to form. Yes, I was that ego lifter.
Like, okay, but I guess not ego lifting, but I do really seriously care about what I'm lifting. I mean, come on now.
Okay, to an extent, yes. Yeah, obviously, yes. Like you want to push yourself to like push more weight, and I'm like that too right now. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm pushing actually a lot of weight. I'm proud of myself. I want to go heavier. But something that I had to unlearn is, okay, if I'm going to push myself to be pushing more weight, do I have the correct form to manage that weight?
And 100%.
That honestly is something I really had to relearn even a year into my fitness journey, because I was just not really focused on form and just more focused on how much weight I was pushing. And when I shifted that and unlearned, like from going to ego lifting to focusing more on form, I actually started to see more results, more mind to muscle connection. And I always tell like all of my friends and people I see at the gym, you have to control the weight. Don't let the weight control you, because when you're obviously lifting and you feel like the weight's just controlling you and you don't have right form, one, you're prone to injury. And it's something I dealt with a year into my fitness journey because of that. And then it's just, you're not going to see the same results as really focusing on mind to muscle connection. So definitely a big part of my fitness journey that I had to unlearn.
100%. I could not agree more with you on that. I had to take a step back on my squat because I was like, man, I really want to start lifting more, but I actually feel like I've got some tweaks I need to make. So this is probably like 2 years ago. I lightened the load, nailed my form, made sure everything felt good. And then when I started adding weight back on, it felt so much easier. I was able to see so many more results, and progressive overload was just like, boom, boom, boom. I could hit so much more and lift so much heavier than I could before because those fundamentals and those basics were there in place. Yes, I love that tip. And I love that you brought that up.
Yeah, thanks. No, I think it's a lot of, because we get so excited, especially when we're new to the gym, like when we start pushing a lot of weight. I just think, honestly, for me, I just felt so cool. I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like shoulder pressing this much weight. Like I feel so cool. And then like my shoulder was all the way back here. And then it would
You're
hurt.
Like, no.
Like, oh, this isn't good. But and it's like hard making that shift, I think, too, from like pushing so much weight to, oh, like, do I look silly now only having the 5 plates or not even any weight at all at the bar? Because that's how I had to start with my squat, too. I was used to putting so much weight, but my form is so bad, and then divert back to just the bar and eventually work my way back up. But then, like you said, once you have the proper form, adding more weight back in is a lot easier and it feels so much better.
Yeah, it does. Man, that's so funny. I've definitely been there.
Yeah.
Definitely. Oh, Good times. I feel like a lot of people start that. Like, I remember if I just look back at my old videos, like, I would do anything to have 135 on the bar for a squat to just feel cool. And I'm like, no, Britt, no. Like, this, put this in the archives. Nobody needs to see this. This is so bad. But
I feel like we all have videos
yeah.
like that. I was the same way. But I think also too, it's when you're at the gym, you want to look cool, you know, with the plates and the 135. But then I realized like no one's really looking at you at the gym.
Yeah.
Everyone's minding their own business. And I vividly remember like there's so many times I've failed squatting and I was like so embarrassed because I didn't want people to see me or had like no weight on the bar or anything like that. But people really just are minding their own business at the gym. No one's
Yeah.
looking. And it's scary because when you first start going, you really think everyone's looking at you and you're nervous, but that's just not the case at all.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, I feel like it also is comforting to know that like everybody starts somewhere. Like a lot of us have had those beginner awkward phases where we're trying and we're like, what were we doing? But we were at least trying, you know? We were
Yeah, I
giving our
think.
best bet, showing up, but no ego lifting here, people.
No, please
Get the
no.
form. Get the form right. You
Yes,
don't want
save
to get
yourself from
injured.
injury. Yep.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, I love to talk about food and I feel like I don't do this enough on the podcast, but I would love to know some of your favorite healthy meal ideas because I feel like the gym is one thing, right? Like we can follow a program, we can train well, but do you have any favorite recipes, maybe even high protein snack ideas that you want to give? Like what are you snacking on right now? I love this question.
I am a huge snacker for
Okay.
anyone who knows me. I love to snack. I'll have my meal. I have 3 meals a day, and then I will literally have like 3 snacks like in between meals. So one of my favorites right now is I love edamame. Edamame is such a high protein and rich in fiber, yummy just thing to snack on if you put a little bit of salt in it and just some lime, or you can really season it however you want. It's so yummy to just pick at and like eat, and it's so rich in protein. I love Greek yogurt. So any Greek yogurt with fruit, some granola, some honey, it really tastes really yummy. Sometimes in the summer, not right now because it's cold, I'll even freeze my Greek yogurt and then I'll put it in like, you know, those blenders. So it's kind of like very ice creamy, like frozen.
Oh,
So it tastes really good.
this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry a bunch of different stressors. Recently, Darian and I are working through moving, him graduating, taking boards, wrapping up things here in Michigan, and our cross-country move to Florida. Like us, I assume that you also probably have a lot of things that are going on in your life and some stressors, whether they are big or small. And oftentimes we can keep them bottled up and then it can start to affect us negatively. But therapy can be a safe place for you to get things off of your chest and try to work through whatever is weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, go ahead and give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Brit today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP. .com/Brit. Skincare from the sea. You got that right. I'm introducing you into the brand Osea. If you have not heard of them yet, this company is called OSEA. It stands for Ocean, Sun, Earth, and Atmosphere, and it is an amazing skincare and body care company. This company is vegan and cruelty-free. They're climate neutral certified and ocean positive. It is a clean beauty company. It checks all of the boxes. I love these products so much. I actually gave some away to some of you for the local event so that you could try them as well. Some of the favorite ones that I use are the body oil and lotion, and then I also love the hyaluronic serum and the ID Puff serum. And every time I use them, I feel so luxurious. They also have a few gift sets that are going on for Mother's Day, which is really fun. They have a Glow and Go facial set and then a Golden Glow body set. I'm definitely going to get my mom one of these. I just don't know which yet. So go ahead and treat yourself or your mom to the everyday spa experience that you deserve. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code FUNGAINS at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head over to oseamalibu.com and use code FUNGAINS for 10% off.
And like I said, really high protein snack, and it's just so yummy. Even if you get like plain Greek yogurt, I'll make like a home tzatziki sauce with like dill, salt, and then I'll just eat that with pretzels. I love protein bars. I've been trying to stay away from processed foods just because I feel like it disrupts my hormones a lot. I'm someone that like struggles a lot with hormonal acne and just hormone imbalance. So I try to stay away from like any processed type of snacks, but a good protein bar is always yummy. The barbell ones are my favorite. They just taste so good. They're like a very sweet tooth indulgence. And then I love frozen grapes. They're not obviously high in protein or anything, but they're so good to snack on, or any type of fruit, really.
Man, that's a good lineup. I gotta try that plain yogurt tzatziki.
Yeah, if you get just literally plain Greek yogurt, and then you get dill, like, you know, the dill leaves, and then you just chop them up, put them in the Greek yogurt, add some salt, maybe some pepper, and just mix it up. It literally tastes like tzatziki sauce, and it has all of the protein in it. And you can eat that with pretzels or crackers, rice cakes, whatever it tastes good at. Sometimes I'll even make that as a sauce with like chicken if I want to make it. It's really good.
That's genius. I love that. I've done this one with cottage cheese, and I'll mix like a tiny bit of ranch with it. That's and have so like every vegetable with it, like tomatoes is good, carrots, cucumbers, bell peppers.
Yeah, that's like so a ranch dip.
Yeah. Wait, but I'm definitely going to try that. That sounds so good.
It's really good. I actually recently just started doing it about like a month ago, and I'm not kidding, I'll have it every day now because it's so high in protein and it just tastes so good. So that's, I think that's the thing about food, like that I said, like knowledge is key, because instead of like going out to buy a tzatziki pre-made with like sour cream and it's has higher fats and everything, you can make it at home with Greek yogurt and you're getting a lot more protein. And yeah, it's just knowledge is literally key when it comes to food. And it's also freedom. Just because you're eating healthy doesn't mean you have to be eating boring foods. Because I know when I started, I would eat chicken, rice, and broccoli every single day. And now I can't even look at chicken, rice, and broccoli without gagging. I'm like, okay, nope.
I feel like I'm going to throw up now. Yeah. Greek yogurt is actually so good because I sub it for sour cream all the time just because it does have a higher protein content slightly. Yeah. Well, that's cool. I'm definitely going to try those out. Everybody write those down. We just got some great snack ideas. I feel like you have a great routine. Do you? I feel like you're very organized. That's how it comes across. But are you? Are you not? No. Am I exposed? Or am I about to expose you?
I am.
I got the right vibes. I got the right vibes. Okay.
I would thrive on routine.
Okay. I love to hear your routine. I'd love to hear what works for you. You can do like your day-to-day routine. You can do like a work routine. You can do your gym routine. I love the details, you know.
I thrive on routine. So my day-to-day is throughout the week. On the weekends, I get off routine, but that's just because, like I said, I allow myself to rest. But Monday through Friday, my day-to-day basically looks the same every day. So right now I wake up around like 6 a.m. And then the first thing I do every morning is I make my bed. That's like a non-negotiable for me. So wake up, make my bed. And then I always have my big water bottle next to my bed. So I chug a lot of water, and then I take my morning supplements. And then after that, what I like to do is I read one chapter of the Bible every day, and then I do a journal entry. And then after that, I hop in, either take a cold plunge or a cold shower, and then I go for my run. So that's what my mornings look like right now. And then after my run, I come back, have breakfast, and that's when I start my work day. So that's when I do majority of either filming my content or client work, because I do online coaching, or edit content. And then I do that up until like maybe 3 to 4 p.m. And then I get ready, go to the gym, come home, have dinner, my night routine, and then it's all over again the next day.
I love that. I love that you also start your day with a little Bible study and journaling. I think that's really cool.
I think morning routines are so important because they set the tone for the day. And I think it's really important to find a morning routine that works for you, because I had tried so many different things. Like, I remember I would journal, but I would do like free journaling, and that was just like too much for me. So now I do like a prompt journal that's only 3 to 5 minutes. And then the Bible just brings me a lot of peace, and it kind of just makes me feel calm throughout the day. So I like that. But I think finding a right morning routine that works for you is really good. Even with waking up, I used to be someone that would wake up at 5:45 in the morning, and then I realized it was just too much personally for me, and I was crashing like midway through the day. So I was like, you know what? This isn't working for me. Maybe I'll get 2 extra hours of sleep, and it's actually been more productive throughout the day. So it's really trial and error for everyone.
I love that. I definitely feel like sleep is something I need to always work on, but it's hard when you're raising a young kid.
Oh, I agree. I can't imagine.
But man, I always feel so much better when I'm able to get to bed early. Mm-hmm. And whenever I choose to sleep in a little more, it does make a big difference. I need to, my goal for this year, do better at sleeping.
Sleep, yeah. It's because I was not good at sleep either. And once I started like running a lot, I was like, okay.
Okay, yeah, no.
I was at that point only literally getting like 5 hours of sleep, 5 to 6 hours. And it was just, I was training, I was running, and my body literally was asking for rest. And I was like, maybe I just need to sleep more. And at first it's hard because your bio clock is like not what you, where you want it to be. I would try to go to bed early and I wasn't tired, and I'm like, oh my God, like what do I do to fall asleep? But it just takes time to fixing your sleep schedule. You can't just go like one day be like, I'm gonna go to bed earlier and wake up earlier. It takes time.
Yeah. Did you ever feel guilt about sleeping longer? Because that's what I struggle with. I'm like, I feel so guilty if I sleep until six. I'm like, wow, I have bad negative self-talk. I need to work on that.
For sure. I was the same way because, like I said, I used to be someone that woke up at 5:45 every day. And then waking up later, I felt like I was not being productive and that I was losing time during my day. And I would put myself down and be like, no, like you're being lazy. Like, come on, like you should be waking up earlier. You should be doing these things. But I think then realizing how good I felt getting more sleep, I was like, wait, actually, this isn't a bad thing. And then like since I do struggle with my hormones, learning how important sleep is for my hormones, and then realizing when I started getting more sleep, that's actually when my acne started to clear up. I started to feel less inflamed, and all the benefits of sleep. That's when I was like, okay, like I'm going to allow myself to sleep without feeling guilty because I'm actually feeling better. But it took time. It took me months.
Okay.
To not feel so. Yeah, I think it's normal, especially when you're someone that's like really hard on yourself, because I'm the same way. I'm really hard on myself and I shouldn't be. It's hard. It takes time. I remember all the time, I'd just call myself lazy. I'd be like, oh my God, you're lazy. And I remember I love David Goggins and he's such a hardcore dude. Mm-hmm. And I loved his book. So I think it's a good and bad thing, because it's good to be disciplined, but not to the point where you're like taking a toll on your mental health like that, because I would just be like, man, like this man wakes up at 4 a.m. every day and like does all these things. But then you also have to remember women and men are different too, and our bodies naturally need more sleep than
okay
men.
True. Okay, who's gonna carry the boat?
I love that. That's him. What I tell myself at the gym. I'm like, yeah, he's carrying the boats.
Well, who? Okay, I really needed to hear that, so thank you. I'm working on it. I'm going to work on it, because I have been a lot kinder to myself about that. And I've been trying to some mornings I'm like, it's okay to sleep in a little bit. That's my goal for this year. Okay.
Thank you. And there will be days when you're feeling a little bit harder on yourself, but just in those moments, try to think of the positive of sleeping more. And then eventually it'll just be like, you feel good all the time about it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I love that. And you've mentioned your hormone journey a little bit. Do you want to talk a little bit on that? I feel like people might be interested if that's something you feel comfortable with. Okay.
So I'm someone that's always had a hormone imbalance of some sort, and I just never knew exactly what was wrong. And the reason I knew something was wrong, I didn't know exactly what in my hormones, but I knew something was wrong, was because I've always had very bad hormonal acne. So along my jaw and my chin area, and it's acne that's cystic. So it's really painful. And I always felt really inflamed. I struggled a lot with like mental fog, like being foggy all the time. And it was just hard, like, and mood swing. So I knew something was up because I just didn't feel like that was normal to feel like that all the time. So I went on birth control for it. And I feel like birth control and any type of hormonal thing, when it comes to fixing your hormones, is almost like putting a Band-Aid on it. So it did fix my issues I was on it for like almost 3 years. And then I decided to get off of it. And as soon as I got off of it, all the problems came back. So I was like, well, I knew there's something wrong. So I went to an endocrinologist and basically got all of my blood work done. And they checked different hormone levels, and they found that my cortisol levels were extremely high, and that my testosterone levels were really high as well. So I've been working with her for about almost a year now, and really focusing on fixing that hormone imbalance with food, with sleep, with different activities and things to do to lower your cortisol, to fix that testosterone imbalance. And honestly, fixing it from within, like the root of the problem, as opposed to just putting a Band-Aid like I did with the birth control. And it's a journey. It hasn't been an easy journey, because obviously you want to fix the problem overnight. And it's really frustrating where you're like, I'm doing everything right. Why isn't my acne clearing? Why am I not feeling better? But it's really just reminding yourself that it takes time. And it's been almost a year now, and it's definitely improved since then. There's obviously like harder days than others when it's closer to my period and hormones level just naturally drop. But you know, I'm proud of myself because I'm really working on fixing it from the root and not taking the easy way out. But it's been a journey. It's not easy, but we're pushing through.
I'm proud of you too. It's so much easier and quicker to just pop back on birth control for you than to have to get down to the nitty gritty and put in a lot of work. But over time, that's definitely going to pay off for you. I'm proud of you. That's really cool. I kind of want to go get like my blood work tested and just.
I think everyone should get their blood work tested.
I need to wait a couple months to have everything regulate for me, and then I'm gonna see how. I'm gonna give myself a little bit of a break. from my body, but I definitely want to do that to see. I think that's something a lot of people can benefit from, especially if you just feel like something's wrong. There's a lot of things as women, it's tough because a lot of studies aren't done on us in previous times, where a lot of these studies, if you look at the actual study group or study sample, it's men. So it's a lot different for us. So I think blood work is a great way to be able to see, hey, something is actually off. I'm not making this up. Let's try and fix it.
And I think, even if you don't feel like something's wrong, I think it's so important to just go get your blood work done at least once a year to really just check how everything is. Like, I know when I went, they even checked like vitamin levels and stuff. So I was a little bit deficient on vitamin D. So I knew I should be taking that supplement. And just, I think it's really good to know what supplements you should be taking too, because a lot of times we just think, oh, we should be taking this, and all of these vitamins that in reality our body doesn't need and we actually have. So I think everyone should be getting the blood work done at least once a year.
Yeah, I think that would be really helpful. Well, that's cool. Yeah. What is something that I don't know about you that maybe your listeners don't know about you? I want to know the tea. We want to get to know you better. Tell us something exciting. No, I mean, not really, but
I don't know if it's that not everyone knows, but I feel like a lot of people don't know that I was born and raised in Costa Rica until I was a freshman in high school. So I basically lived there my whole life, and a lot of
yeah.
people don't know that about me. And I think it's because, one, my last name is not very Latino and Hispanic, and they're like, wait, we thought you were from like Europe. And I'm like, no. So a lot of people don't know that about me, and I think it's a huge part of who I am. I basically grew up there and was raised there, so it's just literally a part of me, and a lot of people don't know that. Every time I post a story on my Instagram of like me speaking Spanish, they're like, wait, you speak Spanish? And I'm like, yep.
Oh, does that hurt a little bit that you're like, man, I wish people understood this a little bit more about me? Or is it something where you're like, no, I'm just sharing this part of me?
I wish people knew. I could share it more, to be honest. Like, I could put it more out there. But I did wish people knew that more about me, because it's such a beautiful country and I love representing the Hispanic and Latino community. So I wish people knew more that I was Costa Rican. But like I said, it's a big, big part of my life and of who I am as a person, because I grew up there and all of my family's there. So, it's a big part, but I wish people did know that more about me.
Okay, well, let's talk about it more because I'm so invested. I'm so interested in this. I've always wanted to go to Costa Rica. It is absolutely stunning.
Beautiful.
And what was it like growing up there?
It was amazing. Honestly, I am so grateful I was able to grow up and live there every single day, because you're surrounded by, I'm a huge nature girly. And I think it's because I literally grew up in the mountains with coffee plantations in my background and the
Oh.
backyard, and just the weather was always nice. And I just remember growing up as a kid, all of the neighbors would just go outside and play barefoot on the street, and we would have calls. It was just an amazing experience growing up there. And I think also growing up in countries like that, you don't really grow up with a lot. So I think it makes you appreciate the little things more, and you're just happy with literally nothing. Like, it really taught me that happiness comes from within and not with all of the material things. And I think that was a big shift for me when I moved here, because America's very
Yes.
consumer minded. So it was a big shift, but I'm really grateful for that aspect, because it taught me how to be more grateful for all the amazing things that I'm able to have in this country and all the opportunities it's presented me, because that's the whole reason my parents moved us here for. But growing up in Costa Rica, I feel like if I didn't grow up there, maybe I wouldn't have the same mindset that I do now. But it's a beautiful country.
Yeah.
It's stunning.
Do you still have family and are you able to travel often going back there?
Yeah, my whole family's there. So I'm here with my parents and my siblings, my two brothers, but all of my aunts, uncles, cousins, my grandma, everyone was there.
Oh.
So I try to go at least once a year. I'm actually going there in March. I'm really
Oh,
excited.
good.
I get
Yay.
to see my family and spend some time at the beach, which is very much
Yes.
needed. But I just love going there and like spending time with my family. And I also have friends there, because I went to school there in high school, and just I basically have a second life there. So it's nice to just go back and catch up with everyone that I don't see for most of the year. And then I like to spend like at least like 2 weeks there while I'm being there. And they have gyms there now too, which is really cool.
Oh, that is
It's exciting.
cool.
I feel like
Yeah.
all of my Costa Rican friends are now getting into fitness, and it's really exciting. It's so much fun.
Oh, that's cool. Was it really hard? I guess walk me through when it was when you first moved to America. You had to start over, obviously. Did you speak any English in Costa Rica? Was it like a, did you learn both or did you have to learn English when you were in high school here?
So my dad was actually born in the States. So he was born in Mississippi. So he grew up in the States until he was about 12 years old. So he grew up speaking English, and then his parents got a divorce and moved to Costa Rica with my grandma. So he knew English, which was cool, because he wanted us to grow up speaking English as well as Spanish. So he always spoke to me in English, and then I would speak to Spanish to everyone else. So I grew up speaking both languages, which I'm really thankful for, because then when I moved here, I was very fortunate enough to know how to speak the language, but it was definitely hard. I would
Yeah.
say that year was probably the hardest year that I've ever had to go through, because moving, especially as a freshman in high school,
Oh.
high schoolers are mean.
Yes, yes.
They were mean.
Yeah,
So
and you're on the East Coast.
I moved
Extra.
to,
I mean, blunt. Very, very blunt. Yeah.
Yeah, I moved to Long Island when I first moved here, not to. So I was in New York. And it was definitely hard because I got bullied a lot in my freshman year. So it took a really hard toll on my mental health. And it was definitely one of the hardest years I've had. But I think then moving from Long Island to New Jersey, there was a bigger Hispanic community here. And I kind of just found people that I could relate to more and accepted me. So that was good, I guess, the move to New Jersey, but it was definitely hard. But anyone that listens to this and has ever gone through bullying or is in high school and doesn't feel like they fit in, just want you to know it gets better. It does, even though it doesn't seem like it, because I remember in that moment, I would just feel like it was the end of the world, and it was hard, but we pushed through. Here we
I'm
are.
so sorry.
Yeah, it happens. I feel like a lot of times, a lot of the people that move from different countries experience this. And like I said, I was fortunate enough to be able to speak English, so I can't imagine people that immigrate to this country that don't know how to speak the language, how it's 10 times harder for them. But
Yeah.
I think it's important just finding your people too that will accept you for who you are. Because, and then too, I struggled a lot with for years trying to just fit in and do what like other people would do and just to like try to make friends. So I wasn't who I truly was. And that took a big toll on my mental health. And then I think unlearning that and just being authentically yourself, eventually you'll attract the people that are meant to be in your life. And I think that's one of my biggest advice to anyone is just be you. And even though it might be lonely sometimes, it's better to be lonely than in bad company.
I agree. I think that can be a really big regret too, is looking back on years. I know even like as I look back on my life, just times when I'm not being true to myself, you feel almost like ashamed of like, man, why was I embarrassed to be who I am? Why couldn't I have just, you know, stood tall and say, you know what, if you don't like me, you don't like me, and that's fine. But I'm going to be who I am regardless of what your opinion is on that. And I cannot imagine having to, I mean, we moved countries, but it was like Germany to America, and I was so young. So it doesn't, I mean, that's just, that's
it's
insane.
So hard.
And
Yeah.
I'm just so sorry that you had to go through that, but it's made you part of who you are now, and you're strong and able to, I bet there's a lot of people listening who can relate to that. And thank you for sharing that.
No, thank you. I just, yeah, it's, I think I'm grateful for all of like, quote unquote, bad experiences that happened to me, because at the end of the day, like you said, they kind of build you to who you are. They make you stronger. And then you gain the wisdom to be able to pass it on to other people and help them through things that are similar. So everything happens for a reason. And that was years ago.
Well, man, I'm excited to see your Costa Rica trip.
Thanks. I'm
now.
So, I
it's
can't
gonna
wait
be
to be
fun.
On a beach and tan.
Yes, that's where you belong. That's
Yes.
Where you belong. We all belong on the beach.
Yes.
I'm so excited to now meet you. Now I get to meet you in person.
Gosh, me too.
Isn't it
I'm
fun?
So excited.
Yeah.
I think it's so cool. Like, you always like meet people through social medias, but like meeting like people you've met through social media in person is just completely different experience. I'm so excited.
Yeah, because you're like, are they, how are they actually? I'm very excited to see. It can go one of two ways.
Yeah.
And you've met a couple other athletes too, right? Like you, I know you met, was it Erica and Annalise, I think? Maybe?
Yeah, so
okay.
I was, I met Erica and Annalise back in September for Annalise's event for her Hispanic Heritage Month. That was so fun. So
That's
like
so cool.
So much fun. Annalise did an amazing job with her event, and it was just cool seeing the Hispanic community come together. So it just makes me even more excited for the Lift Miami, because I know it's going to be like so much fun.
Yes.
And this is my first Lift event, so I'm really excited.
Oh, that's going to be so fun. Well, that's amazing.
Yes.
Keep inspiring. You're inspiring me. So,
thank you.
yes. I'd say we'll finish off the podcast on what's one thing that you would tell your younger self. This has already been filled with so many nuggets, but let's end with this one.
I would tell myself I am enough, or you are enough, to my kinder self. Because like I said before, I would always try to fit in and just not be who I am and seek validation and do anything to just have people like me. And I would always feel unworthy of that. So I would tell myself I'm enough, and I'd give myself a big hug because she would need it.
Yeah. I love that. I think that's something even today I need to say to myself often.
Yeah, I do too. In front of the mirror.
Yes. Affirmations. Yes. Affirmations. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. This has been so much fun.
It has been. You want to go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you on socials so they can stalk you, love you?
Thanks. So my at on Instagram and TikTok is Noelia Todorov, and at Noelia Todorov, and then soon YouTube. Stay tuned.
Ooh, YouTube's about to level up. It's about to level up the game here, guys. Oh my gosh, that I'm so inspired by hearing your story. I'm so glad we were able to talk about that. About you coming from Costa Rica. I mean, that's so amazing. So inspiring. So
thank you. No, and thank you for creating a safe space for me to talk about it. Means a lot.
You're welcome, heart. Everybody go follow Noelia. Give her some love. Let her know you listened to the episode. And we will talk to you all more next week for some more fun and games. Bye.
Bye.
You are listening to the Fun and Games podcast. I'm your host, Brittany Lupton. Thank you for listening to another episode. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Make sure you come back next week for some more fun and games.
Bye, I love you. Fun and Games, family, bye. Make sure to comment. Bye.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.